Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's Word for our special meditation this evening is the gospel lesson appointed for New Year's Day, as we find it recorded in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, which reads as follows. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever, our timeless and changeless Redeemer, beloved hearers of His precious Word. A calendar is a truly peculiar invention. Not in the sense of strange or weird, but in the sense of unique and special. And in the sense of specially limited in its appeal and in its use. For unlike so many of man's inventions here in this world, which are functional, which help people get work done and more easily, which are intended to make life safer and more comfortable and more convenient, and even more enjoyable from day to day, the calendar just hangs there on the wall. And it serves one simple purpose: to help man keep track of one of his greatest enemies, time. God's other creatures couldn't care less about time. They go about their business from day to day, week to week, month to month, and year to year, free from anxiety and care about what tomorrow might bring. Not even concerned as to whether there might even be such a thing as a tomorrow. Their eyes, the psalmist says, wait upon the Lord. And He giveth them their meat in due season. He openeth His hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. Psalm 145, verse 15. People, on the other hand, are not only consumed with anxiety over such things as food and drink, house and home, money and goods, but time itself has become a commodity, so precious and at the same time so fleeting that it occupies just about every other sentence that comes out of our mouths. If only I had the time. I don't have time for that right now. Don't tell me to take my time. Where's all the time gone? I'd like to talk about that some time, but I'm very busy right now. What do you mean in your leisure time? You know why time is such a problem for us, my dearly beloved hearers? It's because of sin in the world and because of the consequences of sin, namely death. Because of sin, life is cut short in death. And in death, time suddenly comes to an end, oftentimes without warning. And there goes, with it, as we well know, the passing of one's time of grace. The opportunity to repent of one's sins and to cast oneself in faith on Christ, the only Redeemer of mankind. Tomorrow we hang up a new calendar on our wall, one which reads 2019, consisting of another 365 days of time, not all of which may be ours to enjoy here in this world. And yet, as we this evening approach the first day of 2019, the first of those 365 days, we have before us a very simple gospel text, often slighted and practically ignored as simply one of those facts in Scripture that aren't necessarily edifying, concerning the circumcision and the naming of our newborn Savior. But in this precious text, we find that our New Year's comfort and assurance lies in the name of our Redeemer, in our Jesus, in our Savior from the demands of God's law, in our Jesus, in our Savior from the curse of the law, and in our Jesus, our Savior from eternity already, according to God's own decree. St. Luke has just finished relating the events that took place at the birth of Christ the Lord, verse 20, just before our text. Astounding events. Amazing events, memorable events that etch themselves into our minds and hearts as the never-to-be-forgotten details of the Christmas gospel. And then, in verse 21, Luke simply states, like an objective reporter reciting facts, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, how does this simple fact impact itself upon our new year, beloved hearers? How does the Savior's name and the circumstance under which that name was given provide us with comfort and assurance for our future in the year 2019? The name Jesus, as we well know, means Savior. The very same name as Joshua in Hebrew in the Old Testament. Both names were very popular in those days and are very popular today yet. Lots of boys are named Joshua, or Josh for short. And the name Jesus, with the very same spelling that that name has in our English language, is very commonly given to boys in Hispanic families the world over. But the name of our Savior is of special significance to us because of what the angel said to Joseph in a dream concerning its purpose. thou shalt call his name Jesus, Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There are, to be sure, all kinds of saviors and heroes here in this world, political heroes, folk heroes, military and national heroes, and sometimes just plain personal heroes in our own experience. But the comfort and the assurance that they provide are short-lived, even in time. And they leave people with virtually nothing as far as eternity is concerned. As we see from our text, however, our Jesus saved us, first of all, from the demands of God's justice, demands which we by nature could never hope to fulfill, demands which, because of our old sinful flesh, we can never satisfy, demands for holiness, demands for perfection, sinlessness, flawless love toward God and to one another here in this world. How did Jesus save us from those demands? He was made under the law, Paul writes to the Galatians chapter 4, to redeem them that were under the law, namely you and me and all mankind. Here in this little text, we see the sinless Son of God made subject to his own law, made subject to God's justice, and even the covenant of circumcision that God made with Abraham. All of this at the tender age of 8 days. Not because he needed to do that, but because you and I needed him to do that for us. By his active obedience to the law in our place, Christ made us righteous in the sight of God. The Bible tells us that Jesus' perfect righteousness is imputed or counted as our righteousness when we confide in him as our Redeemer. Now, my dear hearers, as we look ahead, even in time, realizing what God's law in its justice requires of you and me and everyone in this world here in time, and realizing what sins we will commit and into what trespasses we will fall in the coming year, we have the comfort of knowing that there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Paul writes Romans 8, verse 1. No condemnation to you, no condemnation to me, no condemnation who place our confidence in the righteousness of Christ Jesus instead of in our own filthy rags, imagined righteousness which could never avail before God. Moreover, as those who are justified and sanctified by faith in him, we have the assurance that by the working of his Holy Spirit in our hearts through the gospel, he will enable us in the new year ahead to live ever better unto him who died for us and rose again, so that we, walking in the Spirit, bring forth in abundance the fruits of faith in our lives. to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now that's an assurance that no mere New Year's resolution can give. That's our Savior's very own promise. As we set about in this new year of grace to amend our sinful lives out of love to Him who loved us first. But besides the active obedience of our Jesus, even at this tender age of only 8 days, to redeem us from the demands of the law, this infant Savior, this Jesus of ours, began already to suffer in our stead. He was circumcised, our text tells us. Now that's a minor surgical procedure among the surgical procedures that are performed, generally speaking, on people today. A surgical procedure of no particular consequence, we might think at first hearing. But all of God's male children in the Old Testament were circumcised according to the covenant that God made with Abraham. And many boy babies today are routinely circumcised shortly after birth. But, my dear hearers, this child was no ordinary baby boy. This was the sinless Son of God. This was Christ, the Anointed One. This was the Lord, Jehovah Himself, the angel called Him. He had no need to be circumcised, either legally or medically, and yet, for our sakes, He permitted Himself to be surgically impacted, we would say today. He permitted His own creatures to inflict pain upon Him. He permitted His own creatures to wound Him, to cause Him to bleed His own holy precious blood, the ransom price of our redemption, in His state of humiliation. He was wounded for our transgressions. The prophet Isaiah writes of Him in his 53rd chapter. And the apostle John says in his first epistle, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What comfort, therefore, and what assurance this gives to you and to me for the new year ahead. To know that the little Lord Jesus bled for us already on the 8th day of His life, after His birth here in this world, to redeem us not with corruptible things as silver and gold, those commodities for which the children of this world yearn, and a lot of which they hope to gain in the year 2019, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Thus, when we look ahead and see realistically the many sins and trespasses into which we will fall this coming year against our will and contrary to the earnest desire of our new man of faith, and in spite of our best efforts to avoid them, we know that for Jesus' sake, for the sake of His precious blood spilt already in His circumcision, God in heaven will not look upon our sins, nor on their account deny our prayer as Luther testifies in the fifth petition. But we'll graciously cast also all such new sins behind his back, and we'll remember them no more forever. As we read in Isaiah 38:17, and in Hebrews 8:12. And let us also take abundant comfort from the fact that as the dear little Lord Jesus suffered in our place, not just the pain of circumcision, but the lowliness, poverty, and persecution that he endured for us, he knows from firsthand experience what you and I are going through in this life. When we suffer trials and afflictions and temptations and tribulations. And he knows how to deliver us too, in his own good time and way, promising to turn even our heaviest crosses into good and blessing for us. Who then? What then, indeed, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Paul asks rhetorically. Shall tribulation? How about distress? How about persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or perils? Or sword, the things that he endured for us as our substitute. Nay, in all these things, we, you and I, are more than conquerors through him that loved us, through our Jesus, through our Savior, through our mighty Deliverer. Let us note yet in the last place another reason why our New Year's comfort and assurance lie in the name of our precious Redeemer. He was given that name and his all-important mission to save his people from their sins. Our text tells us before he was conceived in the womb. You and I have been slaves to the calendar for a long time. Some of us for many years now. And it seems as though we've been around for a long time, languishing in this vale of tears. And we sometimes cry out with a psalmist in frustration and in yearning for our heavenly home of peace and joy everlasting purchased by our Savior. O Lord, how long? But our gracious God and Lord has been looking out for us a lot longer than that. His only begotten Son was given that precious name, Jesus, long before you and I ever appeared on the scene with all of our baggage. He was delivered up to be our Jesus, our Savior, by the eternal decree of his Heavenly Father. Before the world began, before the foundation of the world, by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, the Bible tells us in Acts 2:23, whereby God determined before the foundation of the world, ahead of time, to save lost mankind by the death of his Son. Time here in this world, my dearly beloved hearers, sad to say, you and I are stuck with it, as we might say. For now, at least. But by God's grace to us in Christ our Savior, in our dear Jesus, is timeless. Jesus Christ, the Savior anointed to be the Savior of our souls as well as our bodies, is the same yesterday and today and forever. To him, the year ahead is as short as the twinkling of an eye, and all of the perils and problems that are going to be encountered by us in the year 2019 are as inconsequential as stormy waves on a raging sea, which are calmed instantaneously at his command. Shall we not then, in humble childlike faith, leave the unknowns of the year 2019 in his loving, all-wise, completely capable, almighty hands to govern for us in our best interests? Think he can do that? Shall we not take abiding comfort in the fact that Jesus is our Savior, our Redeemer from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, that he has saved us from our sins? Shall we not take abiding assurance from the fact that he will never fail us nor forsake us? For he assures us, I have redeemed thee, singular. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Shall we not confide in our adoption as the children of God by faith in his blood, and boldly confess with St. Paul, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who trusts in God, a strong abode in heaven and earth possesses. Who looks in love to Christ above, no fear his heart oppresses. In thee alone, dear Lord, we own sweet hope and consolation. Our shield from foes, our balm for woes, our great and sure salvation. In all the strife of mortal life, our feet shall stand securely. Temptation's hour shall lose its power, for thou shalt guard us surely. O God, renew with heavenly dew our body, soul, and spirit, until we stand at thy right hand through Jesus' saving merit. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior, unto life everlasting. Amen.